Christian, wouldn't you? And of course they'll say, oh yes.
Well, we were talking a little earlier how doctors, and to some extent it applies with dentists also, I've observed, that the patients, they put a certain type of faith. This is not at all unusual. In fact, well, I know many doctors who are devotees, or many devotees who are doctors, and quite a number of them have commented that when they are treating a person and, you know, the person is obviously coming to the doctor because there's some problem and there's some anxiety, some real concern there for their well-being and their future, and they're placing themselves in the hands of the doctor. So they, you know, in many cases, people turn to doctors as something like mentors, advisors, guides. A doctor is something like a type of guru figure to many people, actually. And, oh, I forget who it was, one of our devotee doctors just a few weeks ago was telling me how regularly certain patients just reveal their hearts, reveal what's going on in their lives, and their problems, and they expect the doctor to say, oh well, just do this then, and do this and do that, and you know, you'll solve your problems. So we were, Lanise and I were talking a little bit about this earlier. We concluded that there's a similar principle applying with dentists also. You know, there's a type of a bond. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's this verse and very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada explaining about this Murari Gupta. He was a very great devotee. In fact, he was one of Lord Chaitanya's closest associates, and Lord Chaitanya valued his association tremendously. And he was actually Lord Chaitanya's doctor. We'll tell you a bit more about that as we read and talk a bit. But they were very close, and Lord Chaitanya took him seriously, actually. Appreciated him very much as a devotee and a doctor, as a spiritual doctor and a material doctor, curing material and spiritual diseases. So everyone, let us try to listen carefully to this verse. It is Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 10, verse 50. Translation and commentary, of course, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, the verse. Chikitsa karena yare haya sadaya deha roga bhava roga dui tarakshaya. Translation. As Murari Gupta treated his patients, by his mercy, both their bodily and spiritual diseases subsided. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Murari Gupta could treat both bodily and spiritual disease because he was a physician by profession and a great devotee of the Lord in terms of spiritual advancement. This is an example of service through humanity. Everyone should know that there are two kinds of diseases in human society. One disease which is called adhyatmika, or material disease, pertains to the body, but the main disease is spiritual. The living entity is eternal, but somehow or other, when in contact with the material energy, he is subjected to the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. The physicians of the modern day should learn from Murari Gupta. Although modern philanthropic physicians open gigantic hospitals, there are no hospitals to cure the disease of the spirit soul. The Krishna consciousness movement has taken up the mission of curing this disease. But people are not very appreciative because they do not know what this disease is. A diseased person needs both proper medicine and a proper diet. And therefore the Krishna consciousness movement supplies materially stricken people with the medicine of the chanting of the holy name or the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the diet of prasadam. There are many hospitals and medical clinics to cure bodily diseases, but there are no such hospitals to cure the disease of the spirit soul. The centers of the Krishna consciousness movement are the only established hospitals that can cure man of birth, death, old age, and disease. Chikitsa karena yare haya sadaya deha roga bhava roga dui tarak shaya. As Murari Gupta treated his patients, by his mercy, both their bodily and spiritual diseases subsided. Om Jnanatam Nandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Vuntale Swayam Rupika Dhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Charubhyas Chaya Kripa Sindhu Vyevaja Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is very nice verse and very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada explaining about this very special person, Murari Gupta. He was highly qualified in terms of medical science. He was very expert at diagnosing and giving some sort of prognosis or some sort of solution for the different conditions of his patients. But while he was doing that, he was explaining Krishna consciousness to them very nicely, in such ways that it really went to their heart. And just as his treatments would go and address whatever were the different ailments of the people, so his explanations and instructions and his very helpful advice would go right to the heart, right to the hearts of his patients, and they would become freed of that detrimental condition of being, of having, you could say, a spiritual disease. In the verse, you may have noticed the words, deha roga. bhava roga. Deha means the body. Roga means disease, illness. So deha roga, illnesses of the body, and bhava roga, illnesses to do with being entangled on the material platform. Bhava in this sense means that ocean of material existence, having diseases related to being on the material platform, implicated materially. So, dui tarakshaya, dui, both those conditions he was able to help the people with. In fact, he was so expert materially, just materially he was so expert that whenever Lord Chaitanya got sick, he would go to Murarigupta. So there's one description, there's one story, it's there somewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya, every day, every single day, he was invited by some devotee householder family to come to their house for lunch. This was every single day, every day. In fact, they had to queue up. They had to queue up and make bookings weeks in advance, yeah, to be able to host Lord Chaitanya for lunch. So one time, and of course, when Lord Chaitanya would go to their house, they would try and offer very nice prasadam. And they were all, you know, they really knew how to cook. So it was very nice. And they would sometimes, or even regularly, go a little overboard. Sometimes it even happens nowadays. And sometimes they would go overboard. And there are a number of descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's one very nice description of Advaita Acharya. Very great personality. He invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch. Lord Chaitanya came with Lord Nityananda, actually. The two of them came. And they sat down. Lord Chaitanya said, just give me some rice and a little spinach, a little bit of leafy, green leafy vegetable. Thank you. So Advaita Acharya then came with like about 50 preparations. It was just, you know, overwhelming. Anyway, now what we're getting at here is that one time, Lord Chaitanya, as was the custom, he went to the house of one nice devotee household couple, nice devotee family. That was the house of Shivananda Sen. He's also, like Murarigupta, very respected, very prominent devotee, very close to Lord Chaitanya. So he invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch, and he fed Lord Chaitanya very sumptuously. And he cooked everything in ghee. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita says he used excessive ghee. These things happen sometimes. Excessive ghee. As a result, the next day when Lord Chaitanya woke up, he felt ill. Of course, he is completely transcendental. But this is his pastime. He felt sick. He's God. How can God become sick? But for the sake of the pastime, this is what Lord Chaitanya did. So what did Lord Chaitanya do then in order to somehow or other try and help himself? He ran over to Murarigupta's house. He ran over to Murarigupta's house, or made his way over. for treatment. And Murari Gupta, he had a type of a water pot in India. You know, they have different types of vessels for water. This was, it was sort of like a kettle. It's like a pot with a spout or whatever, you know, coming out. And he would drink water from that somehow. So he went to Murari Gupta and he was like, he was sick. He was groaning and moaning, Lord Chaitanya. But oh, this is terrible. I feel so uncomfortable. So Murari Gupta, you know what traditionally is like the basic remedy. There are remedies on different levels for different diseases. You know what is the basic Ayurvedic remedy for indigestion? No. The basic remedy is you drink water.
Drink water.
And in so many cases, it will stabilize the digestive system. And unless there's something really wrong, then maybe nothing altogether. But for your normal sort of run-of-the-mill type of digestive complaint, water is the treatment. So Murari Gupta said, oh, well, just try drinking some water and see what happens. Give it a try, and hopefully that will be sufficient. So there was Murari Gupta's water pot, which he used himself for drinking. Yeah, and you know, when you have your own water cup or whatever, and you drink from it, you don't want other people to drink from it. So Lord Chaitanya just grabbed it and just drank. And Murari Gupta said, no, wait, it's contaminated, that's my water pot. But Lord Chaitanya said, ah, nectar. And he became cured. And then Lord Chaitanya congratulated him. And he explained, as we have said, that you are the perfect doctor. Because by your mercy, both bodily and spiritual diseases of people, they subside. Yes. So this was the situation with Murari Gupta. He was the best type of doctor. And he was a very elevated devotee at the same time. He was so elevated, there's one account Srila Prabhupada talks about of how Murari Gupta, he was such an expert doctor, sometimes he would be called to the palace of the king to treat the king. Now the king was a Muslim actually. The king was a Muslim. And, you know, not always, but in so many cases, there's some tension, you know, between Muslims and, well, they would look on Murari Gupta as being a Hindu, although he's pure devotee, actually. But superficially, he might look like a Hindu. So some tension was there. But Murari Gupta was so qualified that sometimes the king would have him called in to treat him if he became unwell. So Murari Gupta came in to the court of the king of Bengal, Nawab Hussain Shah. And the king was sitting there on his throne, all very grand and regal, and many servants and others were surrounding him, and secretaries and so on. And there were some people fanning him. One man was there fanning him with a peacock fan. Yes. So Murari Gupta approached the king and he was just about to inquire from him how are you, how can I help you, like that. And he saw the peacock fan. He saw all these peacock feathers, you know, very nicely put together in this peacock fan. And because he was a great devotee, when he saw the peacock fan, the peacock feathers, he remembered that Krishna has a peacock feather in his hair. Yes, he remembered that. And he fainted. He just fainted on the spot right in front of the king. And the king was up on a raised, some sort of raised platform with stairs going up, and Muraregupta was right up there. Muraregupta fell off the side. Bang. Yes. And that king, he understood what had happened. Yeah, he understood that Muraregupta had seen that peacock fan, remembered Krishna, become overwhelmed. So the king was sympathetic. Yeah. The king was sympathetic. So he was a very great devotee. So anyway, our Bhaktin Lamise, she is just about to embark on her career as, I thought it was going to be as a doctor, but as a dentist. So let us all pray to Krishna that she can follow in the footsteps of Muraregupta and become the Muraregupta of the dentistry world. And, you know, of course, she is not pretentious, so she wouldn't claim to be spiritually on the same platform as Muraregupta. But maybe she can say something about Krishna. Is that okay sometimes? No. Maybe, at least when you get your own place, put some pictures around, picture or two of Krishna. You know, when they're lying back, you know, that whole thing, looking out, then up on the top, there's a big picture of Krishna, something like that. Anyway, you see. There's one young lady also in Durban who's just recently qualified as a lawyer, well, actually about a year or two ago. So we jokingly say, I tell her that if I ever get into trouble, then I'll give you a call. So anyway, Lamise, she can help the devotees by curing their dental problems. Anyway, in the purport though, Srila Prabhupada is making the point that there are, I mean, not to minimize at all, you know, Lamise's profession and just in general, the medical field. After all, Srila Prabhupada was in the medical field from the pharmaceutical point of view. So, but still in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that there are many hospitals for dealing with our bodily complaints. Just down the road, there's the Garden City Clinic. And I remember what happened. Oh, I was involved in a little car accident, and Praveen and I, wasn't it? We went to the Garden City Clinic because I had some minor bruising, but there was something there from that little car accident. So we went in there to try and get some treatment. But they asked for, how much was it? Several hundred rands before they'd even look us in the eyes. Let alone, you know, say hello after that. It was really, oh, amazing. In the end, we just left it, didn't we? Didn't do anything about it. And it just went away for free. Well, sometimes these things don't go away. Sometimes you have to get something done about them. And you know, to be quite frank, as devotees, you know, there are many nice doctors and nice dentists around, so we're fortunate in my experience, generally we can get treated with, you know, no expense or a minimum at least. But it was interesting to me when we went along there. This was what, a year ago, or it was this year? Anyway, several months ago, something like that. We went along and it was a minor complaint. It was not a serious problem. But they were expecting it was to be taken so seriously that one must sacrifice so much money for some minor bodily complaint. What to speak of a more serious bodily complaint? You have some important operation done, and they ask for many thousands and thousands of rands, because the general understanding on the material platform is that I am this body. So when my body is sick, that means I am sick. If my body has a problem, it means I have a problem. It means my basic platform of existence is being threatened. My very being is being threatened. So, therefore, doctors, at least, you know, in the Western world, they are relatively highly paid. Yeah. Of course, you know, Lemise, if you go to Russia, to be a dentist, you know, they will pay you. Now, you'll make about... I know one devotee, his mother is, you know, she's now probably 50 or so, and she's been practicing medicine for like 25 years, very experienced general practitioner, and she earns $80 a month, $600 or $700 a month, and she works hard. She doesn't just sit around and see one person a week or something. Oh, she's on the ball for $80 a month. And you know, I just received a letter today from one devotee in Russia, and she is in charge, or like kind of in charge of the canteen in one of the factories. Yeah, the lunch bar. She earns $70 a month. So yes. So it's almost the same as a doctor. And there, doctors are not taken very seriously. But, you know, in this part of the world they take them very seriously. Anyway, let us just talk about it in this part of the world. When people get sick, when their bodies get sick, it means that my very existence is in danger. My whole existence, well, it may even come to an end, or if not that, at least it may be severely, adversely affected when my body is sick. Therefore, doctors and dentists are quite highly paid. So when you become a rich dentist, Lemise, then you'll have to give some donations for the devotees for spreading Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? And treat some devotees sometimes. Is that okay? But the thing is that there are many hospitals and, you know, there are clinics and medical centers and doctors' surgeries and so on, all over the place. Everywhere you go, every suburb, every shopping center, they're all over the place. But Srila Prabhupada says here that where are There are many hospitals and medical clinics to cure bodily diseases, but there are no such hospitals to cure the disease of the spirit soul. The centers of the Krishna consciousness movement are the only established hospitals that can cure man of birth, death, old age, and disease. Yes. So that is a fact. That is a fact. Our centers, the centers of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, they're the only places where people can go to cure that disease.